Does anybody have the can't help it? You got the can't help it. You can't help but praise him. You can't help but love him. Bless God.
Boy, that should be the song of our heart, that nothing is as beautiful as him. Nothing. Nothing is as beautiful as Jesus Christ in our life. If anything becomes more beautiful, more enticing, more control over our hearts, how dare we?
Yes.
How beautiful is he? Turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 6, as we're continuing our series of becoming a peacemaker. Becoming a peacemaker. Last week we started out by being challenged to be peacemakers in our lives. And we talked about how Scripture throughout, how God only finds us, encourages us, commands us, creates us to be peacemakers here while we wait to go home to heaven. And the next, beginning now and through the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at what does peacemaking look like? How does that manifest itself in our heart? What are the things that we might need to take off and then put on in his spirit to become peacemakers? And today we're going to look at how we need to trust God for peace. And so looking in Psalm 37, we're going to begin in verse 1 and just read those first six verses together. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will all wither away quickly like grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Let's pray. God, we ask you to speak clearly through your psalm this morning, that the words of David that would speak just as clearly 3,000 years ago as it will today. You have a word for us. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us today as we would strive to create a culture, a way of peace in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. There are several things in my life that I don't believe that I would trust someone else to do. I would not trust if I would hold a nail for someone else to hit it. I would not trust someone to shave me with a straight blade. I just wouldn't do that. I would not be that person that would put the apple on top of my head and let someone with a bow and arrow try to shoot it off. That would, or a blade or whatever. I would not trust someone to do that. And I certainly would not trust someone if I was from a pretty good distance, say, come on, jump, I'll catch you. Maybe if my life was in danger, but I don't think that I would trust many people to do that. The biblical word for trust literally means put all your weight on something. Now for me, that's putting a whole lot of weight. But for seriously, trusting someone literally means putting all your faith in that person or that thing without the hint of a safety net or without a second thought. Trust means putting all your faith and trust in someone without any second guessing. And to become a believer, trust is important as believers. To become a child of God, to become a believer, it is said in Scripture that we must trust Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. That his work, that his death on the cross has paid the way for us to go to heaven, for us to be forgiven. And so our lives as believers begin with trust. But it also continues in trust. Every day, moving forward, we are trusting God and his word that if we believe it, if that we are obedient to it, if we trust his will, all of these plans will work out for our best. Trust is important as believers, and is even more important when you're involved in conflict in your life. If you believe that God is watching over you with unlimited power and perfect love, then you will be able to serve Him faithfully as a peacemaker, even in the most difficult circumstances. Let me remind you, or if maybe you've never heard of the story of Joseph. Joseph was thought a lot of by his father. His father loved him so much that he gave him a multicolored coat. And his brothers couldn't stand this. They were jealous because they saw the love that their father had for Joseph over them. And so they conspired together. They sold Joseph into slavery. And Joseph, even in that moment, trusted God. Joseph trusted God's ways and His word, and it led him all the way to being in charge of Pharaoh and all of his crops and all of his food. And then a severe drought came upon the land, and Joseph's family back home was starving, was in need, and they came to grovel to Pharaoh. But God, and you know, the great comedian that God is, brought everyone, all of his brothers, not to Pharaoh, but to Joseph. At that moment, what did Joseph do? Did he seek revenge? Did he get angry? Did he even treat them rudely? No, Joseph went and hugged them and loved them and gave them food and took care of them. You see, Joseph trusted God that even in the conflict that he was with in his family, that if I obey, if I love, if I follow God, I know He's going to work this out for me. You see, it's hard, especially when we're in conflict. But most of our conflicts in our life today unveil a heart that at its root is not trusting God. Think about it. You may have a hard time forgiving someone because you don't trust God that that person won't hurt you again. Maybe you have petitioned others. In other words, you have gathered others and talked to others and said, be on my side, because you don't trust God to work it out on His own. You want to be in control. You want to make sure things go your way. And so instead of dealing with things biblically or in the loving way or the way that God would have us, we choose not to trust. And we argue. And we get revenge. And we gossip. And we do the things that are so against unity and peacemaking. And here, when David penned Psalm 37, and we read these verses, David prescribes a healthy dose of trusting God to help us overcome conflicts in our life. And the first thing that we should do in trusting God for peace is we need to trust God, not our perception. We need to trust God, not our perception. Let me just remind you, verse 1 and 2, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. David was consumed with the prosperity of his enemies on the battlefield and in life. You see, for a Jewish person, they believed, and it's true based on the Bible, that they were God's chosen nation and that they were to benefit, they were to prosper among all others. And so to ever see anybody, people from another nation prosper, they were probably, and more often than not, if not 99.9% of the time, were worshiping another god. And so for them to see somebody like that prospering, they had a big, big problem with that. God, how can you let this person, this Amalekite or whoever else, prosper, and my friend or my relative who's down the street that is a Jew who cannot eat, who has no job, who is struggling, God, how can you make this work in my mind? Because I don't see it. We're your chosen ones. And so as David struggled with this, so are we struggling with this today. We have a hard time when other people prosper and we don't. We have a hard time when we perceive that someone else is getting an advantage over us. This is where conflict is born. We perceive injustice. We perceive a wrongdoing. And at some point, something has not gone fairly towards us. But something David came to grips with that we must as well. Non-believers, their only hope is right here on earth. And they might get all the riches, and they might get all the good news, but our hope is in heaven. And our hope is greater. And so therefore, we must learn to trust God instead of our perceptions. When I was younger, I perceive things quite differently than I do today. When I was actually under 5 years old, I viewed things here around the Roanoke Valley as only a young person would look at it. The big Catholic church downtown, when we would drive by it on 581, I thought was Count Von Count's castle from Sesame Street. You know, one cookie, I thought that was his castle. The church, I don't know what it's called, New Life Fellowship, it's been a couple different names, the one on Airport Road. Sits off the road and it's kind of slanted up. I thought that was Disney World. I thought that looked like pictures of Epcot Center that I'd seen. My Uncle Mitch, I thought was the biggest, toughest guy I'd ever seen. He was just tough. He always, you know, back in that day, I know some people do it now, the cut-off jean vests, you know, he always wore those, and he'd always come, and he'd hit me and say, "Hey, Sean," boom, and he'd hit me, and my arm would hurt for 30 minutes. I wouldn't tell him it hurt, but that's what it hurt. But then I got older, and I became 6 inches taller than Uncle Mitch, and things became different. You know, our perception can drive how we act. And most of the times in conflict, we have perceived something to be against us. And in reality, nothing is against us when we have God. We need to guard our hearts, because in conflicts in our lives, we feel that someone is out to get us. Someone has an ulterior motive. We're being treated unfairly. But we need to step back. And just like David did one other time in his life, realize the giant wasn't that big. We need to hear the words of David when he says, "The enemy will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." We need to trust God, not our enemy. And when we get into conflict, we want to put so much weight and so much trust in our feelings and what we are thinking someone else is doing against us. But listen, they're not doing anything against us if God is for us. The Lord is a strong tower, and whose promises will stand forever. Maybe you have been perceiving things and the conflict in your life, trusting it more than you're trusting God. Secondly, you need to trust God to do what is good. To do what is God good. Verse 3 and 4, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land to cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the treasures of your heart." We know that we are to trust God because he is sovereign. Sovereignty means, it's a churchy word that means that he has ultimate control over all people, all places, all things. But if we were just left with that, knowing, oh, God's sovereign, we'd have a lot of questions. We'd say, well, why did God do this and why did he not do that? Why did he allow this to happen and not allow that to happen? But David gives us a great reason to trust God infinitely more, especially during conflict. We need to trust the Lord because he is good. Psalm 119:68 says, "You are good and you do what is good. Teach me your statutes." You must trust God to work good in your life. When you are in conflict, it is a faith issue that you must overcome. It is a faith issue that God is going to work everything out ultimately for your good. Even when the other person disappoints or you don't get your way, you need to trust God to work that good out. You also need to trust other believers. You see, I've seen so much friction in churches because they're not willing to trust brothers and sisters in Christ who ultimately are also submitting to God's will. We need to also say, I trust my brother and sister. I trust God because in the end, God is working all things out for his good. If you do not hear anything else today, I want you to hear this. This is where faith begins. God does not tell us all we want to know. He has already told us all we need to know. Listen to that again. God doesn't tell us all that we want to know, but he tells us all that we need to know. And he's told us right here that he is good, that he is going to take care of you, that he, if you trust him through the conflict with someone else, through troubles in your life, he is going to work it out. And if we start there, what else are we going to worry about? What else are we going to be concerned about? What else are we going to fight against? What else are we going to do but come back into a loving, obedient, trusting relationship to God? So when you're in conflict, you need to remind yourself, is it possible that I'm wrong? Is it possible that they're wrong? Sure. But no matter which way, God's going to work it out for my good. I had some friends start a ministry here in Roanoke about 15 years ago. And they moved here to start a ministry. And I remember the wife wanted the husband to take a job, this office job, but he said, no, we're going to start this ministry, and I really feel led that I'm going to do this window washing business. I'm going to do this and help this guy out do this. And the wife was adamant that this was not what God wanted. She argued, she said, there was no peace. All conflict in our marriage at that time. Even though we had come and moved here to Roanoke to trust him and to start this ministry, this one little issue was causing so much turmoil and so much conflict in our relationship. I wasn't going to trust him. I wasn't going to do. And so no matter how many times my husband brought it up, I would angrily shoot him down and say, there's no way you're supposed to be doing that. But she said, as she was reading through her devotions, she was reminded of this truth, that God is good and that he works good out for those who love him. And she finally got to a point where she said, God, I'm going to trust you. I know as the wife, I need to really trust my husband in this. And if this is what he feels is best for my family, you're going to work it out for our good. He came home that day. She asked for forgiveness and said, told her husband, I love you. I'm going to support you. If you feel like this window washing thing is it for us, I trust you and God. And between the two of you, I don't trust anybody else. That next week, they had five contacts of people to financially support their ministry that he got during the window washing business. He washed their windows. You see, if we might not understand it here, we might not see it here, and we might think the best thing for me or my family or my way is this, at some point, we've got to trust God and we've got to do the biblical thing. Brothers and sisters, we need to make peace with one another. And by doing so, we need to remember that God is working every situation out for our good. And finally, we need to trust God with our actions. Verse 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as light and your judgment as the noonday. David says to commit your ways to the Lord. In other words, commit your ways and your actions and your life in a way that makes much of God and doesn't make much of you. Trusting God is a decision. It doesn't come naturally. It's not easy. You'll have to choose to love one another. You'll have to choose to be okay when a decision doesn't go your way. You'll have to choose to not gossip and complain. You'll have to choose to compromise. And all these things are the loving and the right things to do. And you must trust God that when you obey Him and you follow His commands and your actions follow His word, the outcome is left up to Him. Even when it's not reciprocated from you to the other person, even when it goes against your long-standing belief, we need to remember one thing. We can't control other people. We can only control ourselves. And we can only control how we react to the situation. And this is the promise that David gives us through God, through His word. It is so beautiful that if we follow Him in our actions, His righteousness will shine through us. And when people look at us, it says the judgment will be as the noonday. Maybe in your version it says bright as the noonday sun. And what does that mean? It means that when your actions follow God and His will, and you're lined up to His word, and even in the midst of conflict, you will shine bright. You will look like the bright morning star, Jesus Christ Himself. And God will get the glory through you. And peace will come through you. And you will shine the way that God does, because you have trusted Him in your actions. You see, it's not that I'm right all the time, or that every decision goes my way. It's not that I need to worry about what people think about me. If I stand on my actions that they worship God, He will take care of the rest. Some of you know that in the last 2 weeks, it's kind of been a milestone couple weeks in our household because Franklin is starting to walk. And we've seen it for a while, for almost a month, actually. We've seen him getting the strength together to walk. And we've seen him coast along the sofas or along the wall. Now he's moved up to pushing dining room chairs all throughout the house. He just needs anything and everything to keep that balance. But here's the thing. As of July 17th, I believe, we know that Franklin is strong enough to walk by himself. We saw him take his first steps without holding on to anything. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been using different things, keys and lollipops to coast him, coax him to walk between the two of us. And he does a great job. But you know, there are moments, and there's been moments, that Franklin, when he doesn't have something to hold on to, he drops to where it's safe. He doesn't trust himself and his ability. And so he goes back to where it's safe. You see, when will we let go? Just like Franklin really needs to let go and start walking without someone to balance him or to do something, we need to let go in our life. We need to realize that we can't control every moment. We can't control every decision. We can't control every way that person acts. All we can control is how we can be peacemakers in each situation in our life. And that begins with trusting God. It seems elementary. And you might even leave here saying, gosh, all we got from this is to trust God. If it's so elementary, why don't we do it? If it's so easy, why do we work things out and cause more conflict because we can't trust God? I bet some of you later today will get into a complaining session or lash out at someone or do something. You'll probably be reminded by the Spirit in this. How am I not trusting God right now? How am I not trusting God to get me through this situation? Today, we need to be peacemakers. We need to learn to trust. So the first decision that you may need or response to His word is maybe you need to trust God for the first time in your life. Today, I hope you heard that the beginning of a Christian life is to trust the work of Jesus Christ. You see, we can't work our way into perfection. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't be good enough to get into heaven. For us to become a believer, we must trust Jesus Christ and all that He's done so that we may be saved. Has there been a time where you've said, Jesus, I want to trust You. I don't want to trust myself. I don't want to trust anyone else. I want to put my hope, faith, and trust in You as my Savior. Well, today, I hope that you do that. I hope you put all your weight on Him because He will never fail. And He is our hope. And so today, if you feel like, I don't know where my life is leading, I don't know what my life would be like if I died going home today, I encourage you to trust Jesus for the first time. Maybe today you are a believer and you've realized today that you have a trust issue. There's a disagreement going on between you and someone else, and you realize that it's your stubbornness that's keeping peace from coming into the relationship. You need to trust God. You need to treat that person with love. You need to trust Him. How is your homework going? Last week I encouraged everyone, part of the homework is to pray about one relationship over the next couple weeks that you would become a better peacemaker in. Maybe it's somewhere in the home or at the workplace or in school or somewhere else. Are you trusting God in that situation? Are you trusting God to do something great in that love and that loving relationship, that reconciliation? This is an issue if you're not trusting God for change. So tell yourself this morning, today, every morning you should say this, today I'm going to trust God more today than I did yesterday, and especially in the relationships that you're in. Let's pray. God, we ask You this morning to remind us of Your goodness. There are so many conflicts that we can get into with our children, parents, friends, spouses, people at work. God, so many times we gear up to protect our name and our reputation, and all the while we're destroying Yours. Lord, I pray this morning that we would trust You in these relationships, that we would realize that conflict is not just a matter of doing better, but it's a matter of trusting You. I'm going to forgive because I trust God in this matter. I'm not going to seek revenge because I trust God in this matter. I'm going to love this person because I know that my actions will bring more glory to God than if I were to treat them unbiblically. Lord, I pray that you change my heart. I pray that you start with me. Help me to trust you more. But God, I pray for each person here. Trust is a hard thing. The Bible says faith is a hope in things that we do not see. But God, you are the one we're to put all our faith in. And God, we know you will never fail. You will never harm us. You will always do good. Even if we don't see it on this side of heaven, we know goodness and mercy awaits for us. So Lord, I pray this morning that you would work a mighty work in our lives and that you would point us into trusting you more. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you want to do business with God in your seats, if you want to come down forward and pray for that relationship that you've been working on as part of your homework in this series, if you want to just come and just say, God, I need to trust you more, not just in conflict, but in everyday situation, I encourage you to come do that. Maybe you want to come and trust Jesus for your salvation for the first time. I'll be standing down front. We encourage you to do that right now as you sing this, No, Not One. There's no not one but Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Stand and sing.